Welcome to RC Hangar Time, a podcast dedicated to the radio-controlled aviation hobby, where each week, our hosts discuss everything from airplanes to helicopters and everything in between.
Yep.
Yeah.
We'll stop at liquid.
What is this, 49?
Yep.
49?
Okay. This is number 49 of RC Hangar Time. So this week we got Dustin and Wade with us. So what you been up to, Wade? What's going on?
Well, I've been working. Ordered some new batteries, obviously. I think I mentioned that last week, but I finally got those in, the Multistar batteries from Turnagy. So I've been trying those things out, and they're super low discharge rate, so I'm loving that. The battery time on those are phenomenal for your multirotors. So I've been just testing and tuning the multirotors because I'm starting on that job for the city doing all the aerial videography and stuff.
Awesome.
And then after that, I'm going to make the FPV and multi-rotor community proud, and I'm going to start peeping in on ladies.
Wow.
I just don't give a crap anymore, man. I'm going to go violate the FAA's wives.
Nice.
And you already did the stealth mod to your multi-rotor, right? So it'll make it easier for you.
Yeah, what you do is you glue with CA glue cotton balls onto the propellers, okay. And you can't even hear it.
Huh.
Yeah.
Is this something that DJI is going to be selling with their Phantoms?
Yeah, it's their tuned shithead version of their motors.
Nice.
Never met a damn Phantom pilot I liked.
Awesome.
No offense to anybody watching or listening that likes Phantoms, but you should get bigger. But other than that, man, just chilling out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you there. Cool. How about you, Dustin?
You know, same old thing. I've been last Saturday. I went out and flew my quads around with the local park and flew my scratch build 40-inch wing. I took three of my quads with me, hoping to get some tuning done on my TBS Discovery and just practice some flips on my VTEL. And then I flew some FPV. I guess I didn't fly it on Saturday, but I flew some FPV on Friday, after work, and, put that scratch build 40-inch wing up in the air and had a good time with that. But for flying, that's about it. And then I got my mini VTEL finally painted, and I have 100% of everything ready to put it together. So hopefully we'll okay. build that this week.
Well, just go ahead and send it to me. I'll build it and fly it for you.
You'll fly it and crash it, or fly it, build it and crash it?
It's been so long since I've crashed anything.
You're going to pile in two of them this weekend for saying that.
Well, okay, disregard. I crashed last night. You guys saw the picture I posted of me crashing my micro quad.
Into your straw.
Dude, it was crazy, right? So anybody here have a Proto X?
I do. I got two of them.
I love them, right? And what you do is you get the Hubson controller off of eBay.
Did that
for like
too.
$20, and it does like flips and stuff, right?
Yeah.
So I'm in my living room doing flips and shit, right? And I'm flying it through my, because I got a huge house now compared to what I used to live in. So I'm like having a blast with all this room. And I flew by the bar and it hit my Starbucks straw and it flipped out of control and actually landed on my lap. And then I looked and I was like, where's the prop? So me and my daughter looked around for like 5 minutes, and sure enough, it was in my Starbucks straw.
Yeah, that was awesome.
True story.
Yeah, I saw the picture. It's only true you'd see the picture.
Seriously, it's true. I'm not lying.
Oh, okay. Are you
no,
sure?
Seriously. Anyways, what about you, Mike?
I haven't been doing much. I've been taking a break still from flying, you know, since I crashed. I did open up the box to the Bloody Wonder, and I looked inside of it and looked at all the pieces. Said, yep, looks like a plane to me. And I went back inside.
So you have a Bloody Wonder right now?
Yeah.
That's from flight tests, right?
Yeah.
Can I have it?
You can have Dustin's because he's never going to build his.
I guarantee I'll have mine built before you will.
Okay, what are we putting right. on this?
So all the listeners, everybody hears it. Here's the wager. Who gets the Bloody Wonder built first?
I'm gonna start building it during the show right now, Mike. And what about your Bixler? Your easiest plane in the world to put together and get out and fly. And where are you on that one?
I'm still painting it. I painted the I got a coat of paint on these, you know, the tail and...
Yeah, that's what you said last week. Favor. Back me up on this, Wade. Isn't that what he said last week?
He did.
Yeah, I see.
That's where I'm at. I still got one more coat of paint to put on it. Well, I got the other color to put on it. I've got the, you know, the base color on. Now I got to put the other color on and then glue it together.
And then send it to me.
Sure. After you send me a heli.
Okay.
A 700.
I'll give you a fucking 700. Give you a heli and 700 parts.
He didn't say 700 what. You could just write 700 on the side of something.
Yeah, there you go. I've been busy with other stuff that, you know how life is. And then working on website stuff and drawings and Photoshop and stuff. So I've been on the computer a lot lately.
So you've been trying to make yourself look better then?
Well, yeah. You know.
Photoshop?
Yeah, that's what I do.
You should try it on your videos so you can like video edit it so you don't crash.
I know, huh? I should try that.
That's what I do.
Well, I just don't video me flying. Then you don't get any chance of any crashes.
Yeah, true. How come every time the video camera comes out, something bad happens?
I don't know.
That's the truth. On Saturday when I went and flew, I took that VTOL up. And I can do 3 consecutive flips pretty good, you know, so I get it up pretty high. And when I get 3 down, I'm about, I don't know, 20 feet off the ground. And so I put my cell phone, I set my cell phone up on my car so that I could videotape myself flipping. And I did a couple at 3. And then I was like, I got 4. So I put it down. I turned up the stick scaling on it, got everything all set up, took it up for 4. And I got 3 and I got 4.5 and it just poof right into the ground.
Nice.
So, yeah, what a waste of setting up the camera.
Yeah.
I flipped. I'm not kidding you. I flipped my hexacopter for the first time.
Wow. Was it on video?
I stripped it down. No. I don't have anybody to video here. I don't have the other guy anymore holding a camera. It sucks. I'm so bored. I just go out and play with my hexacopter and like everybody stares at me like I'm the devil. I just go back inside, beat the dogs.
Nice.
Do you have a NASA? You have a NASA on that, right?
Yeah, I have NASA. I did the slowest, scariest effing flip I've ever done in a multi-rotor, and I was like, crap, I should have never did this. Here comes the end. And it pulled out.
Yeah, I'm still nervous to try to flip my NASA quads. I don't know. I don't know if I trust it or not.
Just give it a lot of room, throttle it all the way up, and then flip it, man. And then as soon as it gets right again, flip it right back to GPS mode or right back to Addy mode.
Nice. So
yep, that's about
I got here's my dilemma with the Bloody Wonder. There's no instructions on how to build it. It's just a bunch of pieces.
Because they built an awesome video for you to follow.
I don't want to sit and watch a damn video while I build this thing. That's my problem. I saw the video.
Okay. So let's see who can come up with the most badass version of the Bloody Wonder, not using any plans, and see whose flies better.
Okay. I'm down.
Dustin's all quiet. He's like,
no, that don't work for me because I built a lot of the flight test stuff. And so on the speed build kits, it's even easier because it's already cut out and it's all marked. Like this is a B fold, A fold. So I think I could do this without even watching a video.
Yeah.
I have built quite a few of their planes before, so.
I never have. This is my first one.
All right.
Cool. So, can we move on to some news?
Yeah, let's do new. Can we do news and shout outs at the same time?
Yeah, do it.
Yeah.
Show me what you
got. I don't
got.
Have any. okay. I don't know if this is mentioned last show. If it is, you can edit it out. I think you do everything I say that's funny. But did you guys see Horizon Hobbies like really darting into the FPV thing with their super
with
micro?
The vapor?
That's what I was gonna bring up too.
My bad.
No, that's cool. I wanted to talk about it.
Dude, I was stoked when I saw that. Like, I don't know what it is about it. For that price, I'm going to, man. Like,
well, aren't they only out in the UK right now?
Yeah, but I mean, you can pre-order them, I think.
I was on the show or on the website before the show getting the information for the show notes, and it said that it was already sold out.
Yeah.
Let's see what it says. Or maybe they said back-ordered.
Yeah, it's back out.
So the pre or out of stock is what it says now. I think before it said pre-sale, but now it says out of stock.
Well, if you click on it, it says pre-order. If you actually click on it, it always says out of stock on the main page, but that's cool, man. They're using like SpyroNet antennas. They're using, I mean, everything. It's pretty cool, man.
Fat Shark's little camera, and obviously if you buy the full kit, it's Fat Shark goggles.
Yeah, and I think it's cool that they put on there too, no FCC license required because it's such a low power.
Yeah. Here's my deal with this though. Don't you think that some people are especially with FPV the way it's going right now, and the you know, this is gonna be the phantom of fixed wings. You know,
people,
I mean, not in that capacity, but somebody that's getting into flying will get this and be like, oh, I could fly this. Then they're going to get a big plane and try to do FPV, and they're not going to be as experienced. You know what I'm getting at?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or you think this is going to be a niche market for like FPV flyers, kind of like micro quads? You know what I mean?
I think this is definitely an entry into FPV, but the thing with FPV and planes is I don't think someone like a Phantom owner, a first-time Phantom owner who went to the shop and bought a Phantom and is going to be successful, I think there's a certain amount of skill that's involved with flying a plane FPV over like a quadcopter.
Yeah.
And this Night Vapor, I don't really think it's, you know, going to give them the big enough taste. Like you said, I think they'll move into something bigger and better. And I just don't think they can be as successful as they can going down to the local hobby shop, picking up a Phantom and start flying right away because it's basically a flying robot. I think with this Night Vapor and other FPV planes, there's a certain amount of skill that's involved in doing it.
You know what?
Have you ever flown a Vapor?
Yeah.
They're like
awesome.
The easiest thing to fly in the world.
They are, but now take and put FPV on it, because I'm 10 times more, and maybe other people are different, I'm 10 times more comfortable flying FPV on a quadcopter than I am flying on a plane.
I'm the exact opposite.
I was the opposite. Really? I preferred, even though I'm a heli pilot, I preferred flying wings over quadcopters FPV.
To me, it's easier because throttle management is easier.
Yeah,
when I'm
exactly.
flying multi-rotors, I have an issue with throttle management. I can't seem to keep it smooth. I can't seem to keep it like a steady altitude. Whereas an airplane, it's easier for me because I can watch everything flying by and I know exactly what it's doing. And plus, I'm a tried and true. I've flown nothing but airplanes, you know, until I just got a multi-rotor thing. But I mean, you got to watch out for this. It's still going to pose a danger, even at 24 grams. You know,
I think with me with planes is they travel a lot faster, and the only option you have to stop or to return is to make a maneuver, come back. And so, I think that kind of at first, you know, I was always afraid of the plane getting too far away for me. With a quadcopter, I set the camera quite a bit further back so I can still see the front arms and the props, and then I have it tilted down so I can see quite a bit of the horizon. I have a pretty wide angle lens on my camera, so height management was kind of tough at first, but I always know, you know, I can fly in GPS mode with my regular quad and I can let go of the sticks and it'll stay there, and if I really got in trouble I could return it to home. And with that being said, I think with like flying like my TBS on FPV, or when I start flying this mini quad on FPV, that may change as far as like which one will be easier, because there'll be a lot faster forward motion, and you know, being closer to the ground is going to be a lot harder.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can order the actual FPV setup, the camera and the transmitter. You can order that separately.
Really?
And so what I'm thinking about doing, and, you know, please, by all means, everybody else, when that stuff comes out, let's do it. I'm going to put it on the mini quad, like the little teeny Nano QX.
Oh, yeah.
There you
go. I want to see how that works, because I love that Nano QX, man.
Yeah, that is a pretty sweet setup with the transmitter and the camera all built into one for
it's
that.
$99.
Nice.
I'm not too hip on how the antenna sticks out of the top of the camera, but it's pretty sweet.
Yeah, I mean, they did what they did. They did pretty good too. So I can't wait to get one. Honestly, I want to fly this thing everywhere indoors. You know what I mean? Like, did you guys see the video on the webpage?
I did last week. I watched a couple of the videos.
It's like flying through libraries, and like, that's going to be so awesome. Because my wife's a librarian, so I can totally sneak in and go to her library.
Nice.
And I got access, Mike, I got access to the downtown library because I do the network support for it. So
yes.
Yeah,
we could fly in that big atrium and
we could see who can make the best library video.
I'm going to put an ultra micro smoke system on it. Dude, it's going to be so sick.
Okay, you're getting a little carried away with this thing. Moving on now.
Moving on. I'm going to run a 4-cell on it.
Wow. So what else for news?
I wanted to give a shout out, as a matter of fact, to Vaughn Minter from Canada. It was one of the coolest, most original modified airplanes I've ever seen. And he basically took Hobby Zone Super Cub LP. Have you guys seen that one?
Oh, yeah. I did see that today.
Yeah, he modified it, put an 860 kV brushless motor, custom built firewall motor mount, and converted it to a biplane.
Yeah.
And it looks so cool, man. Like,
yeah, I love it.
Like, okay, most people, they'll do the clipped wing and ailerons. You know, I did the brushless motor, but I left it 3-channel. Like, this guy took it above and beyond and did ailerons, a top wing or bottom wing with ailerons, freaking paint, brushless motor. I mean, and it looks pretty cool. So, good,
yeah, that's
good
awesome.
Shout out to him, man.
The only problem is he used the Denver Broncos colors.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can do that.
I think it's faded from the Bears colors, honestly.
Oh, yeah.
So that, I'm okay with that. It's just faded Bears colors.
Okay.
Wow.
Mike's like, I live in Utah. I don't like football.
Whatever. Okay. Yeah. What else? I've got some news if you guys don't.
Go ahead.
Go for it.
So, the Goblin 380. Did you guys see that thing?
Yes.
Yeah.
That thing is sick.
I saw the video you posted of Tarek Al-Sadi.
Yeah, they had a whole bunch of them out at the Goblin Day in Switzerland. And that thing was awesome.
It's pink.
It was red, wasn't it?
Oh.
But yeah, that thing is awesome. I hope that they have a release date soon, because I definitely want one. I'll be pre-ordering that thing. That video was amazing how fast that little thing can rip.
Yeah, I mean, it's... Yeah, dude, that's sick. I'm watching it right now, and I think I'm going to get one.
Do it.
It can't be that expensive.
I don't know. Well, I'm curious to see what the price point of this is going to be. I don't even want to guess, because we've seen what the 500 and the 570 runs, so we'll see. Hopefully it's, you know, not too expensive. I mean, it's not going to be a budget-friendly 450 size heli. We'll put it that way. I mean, it's going to be your, you know, upper end heli for your 450 sized, 500 sized helis.
Yeah.
But it's definitely worth it. It's
definitely going to be cool.
For sure. And then had an announcement about the shirts. We have shirts on Teespring. We're trying to get 30 of them pre-ordered so we can get them printed. It's the Ain't No Drone shirts for the first run. To find the link to that, I'll throw it in the show notes. It's also posted everywhere on Facebook, the forum. You know, go to the fan page, go to the group, go to the forum. You'll find that, and you can order that shirt. I think it's awesome. What do you think, Wade? What would Wade do?
I'm going to buy four of them, one for each day of the week, and then on Fridays, I'll just wear a tank top.
Okay, sounds good. Yeah, I'm gonna get a few of them as well. I'll get a short sleeve, a long sleeve, and then one extra, and you know, use it for a giveaway on one of the shows or something.
You'll wear a tank top over the least dirtiest one on Friday?
Yeah. Yeah. As long as they're all black, they're fine.
That's what I do.
Hey, speaking of flying,
mm-hmm.
Let me borrow a battery, Dustin.
What you want? Come on, man. The first one's free, and after that,
hey, you said it.
Yeah, I got a couple, don't I?
You have 47 batteries.
That's just what I keep in my flight box. Yeah,
I need like a 4-cell, like a good 4-cell.
In that box that I have 8 4500 milliamp 4-cell batteries. And that's what I use between my Hex and my production quad rig that I shoot aerial photography with. And then I have 6 or 8, like Nanotech 2650 milliamps. And I run those, you know, on my VTEL quad or on my TBS. Sometimes I run those in parallel. So, I don't know if you know, but I do aerial photography for the city of Salt Lake.
Nice.
And so when I do stuff, I don't have time to charge batteries, you know, at the car. I need to run through 8 packs and be done, you know?
Yeah, I totally get it. That's why I bought my batteries from the other day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's just the way to go.
And so between my 4,500 milliamps and I run two of those in parallel on my Hex, I mean, and on the other batteries, you know, depending on what I'm flying, I can usually get all my 4-cells. I can run them in parallel in different configurations, and I can, you know, do 10 to 12 flights in a session. So, and not have to worry about charging.
See, that's nice. I only have 4 batteries right now, and technically I only have 3 because 2 of them I have to run in parallel.
I only have one question.
Yeah.
What does that have to do with news?
I'm just curious. We just got off on a tangent. I think tonight, you know, we're going to do what we do, but I love to just talk, man. People are learning.
Yeah. News is over, dude. He's given shout outs. He shouted me out.
Yeah.
Oh,
shout out to.
Oh, is that what that was?
To DP.
The battery D-Phil. Man. We should just call him the battery man, the lipo man. Dustin, all right. The lipo man.
Okay, now we're going to call this segment Word of Advice, and then we'll move on. I'm just making it up, man, as we go. That's all we got to do.
Yeah, winging it.
So I'm running the DJI E300 propulsion system, right?
Yeah.
What is more efficient in your mind, 3-cell or 4-cell? What's going to get me longer flight times?
Well, I think 3-cell is more efficient because you're just going to draw less watts.
Yep.
But I kind of feel like I get more, you know, I mean, obviously when you go from a 3-cell to a 4-cell, you're going to get more punch. So I can hover, and it's the same with a 3-cell and a 4-cell, but if I need to move and I need to punch or I need to, you know, pick up speed or something like that, I feel like I get more out of the 4-cell than I do with the 3-cell.
Okay.
So, yeah, I don't know. It's kind of a personal preference to me that I got into doing 4-cells, and that's just kind of the way I went, and that's the way I've stayed.
Okay. Because I'm doing 4-cell now, and I like it, but I'm thinking about going to the E600 and running a 6-cell.
And I've been dabbling about going to a 6-cell setup also, and, you know, getting some big fat pancake motors and turning, you know, 15-inch props, you know, but just haven't, you know, for what I'm doing right now, I'm doing okay. I can carry way more battery than I need, but when I want to start carrying a bigger camera, yeah, I'm going to need to look at changing something up.
And the reason I brought all this up, Mike, for those who, you know, for you who just doesn't think I'm getting anywhere, that brings me to my last bit of news. See, you like how I worked that in there? It was like a 20-minute interlude, right?
Yeah, that's awesome. It worked great.
The DJI E600 tuned propulsion system has gone on sale from $629 or whatever it was down to $449.
Wow. Are you going to get one?
Six motors, six ESCs, and freaking 12 props.
Wow.
That's a perk. $449. That's fantastic.
Yeah, that's a way sweet deal.
So get them while they're hot, because I'm getting ready to buy it, and I already have 6-cell batteries that I run in my carbon cup. So
do it. Sweet. Anything else?
I love your face.
Okay.
Nope, that's it for me.
All right, let's move on to our main topic.
You're listening to RC Hangar Time. Please help support our show by going to rchangartime.com and clicking the donation tab. Your donations help keep the show running each week. And be sure to share this episode on Facebook or your favorite forum. Thank you for your continued support and enjoy the rest of the show.
So this week we're going to talk about transmitter setups. We're going to talk about the various types of aircrafts and the corresponding transmitter setups. So helicopters, fixed wing, delta wings, you know, multi-rotors, that kind of stuff. Who wants to start us off and talk about what kind of setup they're using with their aircraft?
Well, I'll start off first. You know, I'm running now a DX9, which doesn't really matter about how it's set up, but due to the fact that it is a newer transmitter, or radio as some people like to call it, I typically stay with I'll start off with a standardized setup for everything. Unless I'm running something that has specific setups like Extreme 3D or whatever, then I'll typically run the same setup every time. And usually I'll run it with just like maybe 20%, typically 15 to 20% expo all the way around. And then I have three rates on there. So I have like 60%, 80%, 100% throws on all surfaces until I get used to it and kind of tune from there.
Right. So what are in these setups, what are you using? What model type and in the radio and that kind of stuff, you know?
I don't have a lot of heli experience with that, minus the Nano CPX, which I can actually fly fairly well. That was my first helicopter I've ever really flown, and it's the freaking flybarless collective pitch. And I love it. I can invert hover, and I can crash it really well.
Nice.
But other than that, I don't really have a setup on that. I just followed the manual. But I forgot the question.
What model type are you using in your radio? You know how when you set up your binding of your aircraft, it asks you what type of model is this?
Yeah.
Airplane, glider, fixed wing?
It's all going to depend upon the actual model itself. If I'm running an expensive or a plane I want more play out of, you know, basically more programmability, for instance, my Precision Aerobatics, the Bandit, usually what I'll do is I'll run a separate channel per aileron. So then I got to set it up as such in the transmitter. And the cool thing with the DX9 is that it has nice little like charts, little pictures. So you can run like dual ailerons and it tells you everything. And you don't have to go in and set it. You just click on the picture that matches your setup on servos and it already has it tuned for you.
Right.
But most of the time I just run your standard, you know, standard two servo on the same channel setup with the Y harness. It just depends on the model, honestly.
With my, I know that Mike probably doesn't want to hear about the multi-rotors, but with the multi-rotor stuff, with all my NASA stuff, I have a blank model that I usually start with. And so I've built a model so that I have the certain switches assigned so that all my multi-rotors that run NASA, all my switches do the same thing. And when I set up a new multi-rotor, I've fine-tuned that setup to the point where I just copy it over and start. And yep. I know some guys really get into, hey, this is still a heli, so you need to use a heli model. But with multi-rotors, I just use a straight plane setup.
Yeah, that's what I used as well.
And that's what NASA actually tells you to do that. If you actually go into the NASA, like, manager, whatever the hell that program's called, you know?
Yeah, the wizard.
It tells you to do that, yeah.
And, you know, for me, so when I started RC, I didn't have a computerized radio. So
I
didn't really have a chance to do differentials and expos. And so I learned not to be a stick banger. And so for a long time, I didn't run any expos and I didn't run any differentials because I was really light on the sticks. And then I had friends that when I was trying to teach them how to fly, they were stick bangers and, you know, they would overcompensate for everything. And so I started kind of working with them with differentials and expos and things like that. And recently I've started, you know, adopting some of that into my own, you know, the way I work with stuff too. So I'm programming differentials for sure on almost everything that I have, cause I like different rates of throws. But as far as expos, I haven't been a super big expo person because I don't bang sticks. So
you call me a stick banger?
I don't know. I don't know what you are, man.
Do you fly a lot of 3D?
And see, I'm not a big 3D pilot. I have a 3D plane and, you know, that is where that I've done some expos. But like on my wings and the other stuff that I have, I really haven't set up a lot of expos for that stuff just because, you know, I'm not doing a whole lot of crazy turning and stuff. Yeah.
Well, I would suggest from me to you and anybody else out there listening, especially for Elevon wings. Okay. I would try 15-20% expo. And you'll be surprised at how it smooths out your straight line flight.
For sure.
Like it's not there to help you necessarily. It's not that you're a stick banger.
It's not a band-aid.
It really helps out smooth your flight out, especially for like FPV and stuff. You'd be so surprised.
Yeah, I could use a little bit of stabilization in my FPV flight.
Yeah, do it, man. And I learned that from one plane and one plane only, and that was the Ultra Micro Striker. You had to have like 45-60% expo like fly the damn thing if you've never flown a wing before. And that thing was a bullet, man. I loved it. So that's how I learned. And then I started off with no decent radio. I had a DX5. You know,
yeah,
high rate and low rate, and I didn't even know what that meant. You know, and I flew a wing that went well over 120 miles an hour. That was the first one I built out of some parts I grabbed from Hobby King, and I flew the crap out of it. And its roll rate was quicker than anything I've ever seen. And I'll post a video of it, you know, on the show notes. But I'm not a stick banger either. But damn, if you use Expo right, it really helps.
I've always used, you know, modified rates, either high rate or low rate. And, you know, I have a DX9 also, so I can set up three position. But I used to just hard code the rates in, you know, without a switch and just, you know, run them at 75% or I guess, you know, cut 25% off. But now that I have the DX9 and even when I have the DX8, it was, you know, it's a lot easier to set those up. And just, you know, you can have three positions so you can always go to 100 if you need, or, you know, be at 75 or 65 or wherever you want to.
Right. I do 85. No. I do 65 for my Bandit. I do 65 low rates, or yeah, the low rates. I do 100 on medium rates and 150 on high rates. And I put 45% expo on my high rates. And the reason I do that is because literally when I go and want to do that inverted flat spin, it literally pancakes and falls to the ground flat. Like, it's amazing. I mean, you can hear the rudder slapping the elevator. Like, it's that much.
So let me ask you this. When you set up your simulator for 3D, do you set up expo in there also?
Yep, of course. Exactly the same.
Always the same.
Nice.
The way you're going to fly your heli or airplane, set up the simulator the exact same. If you're using expo on your heli or airplane, use it on the sim.
Yeah, sim is great, man. But there's nothing like getting out and doing it for the first time and going, oh my God. So I got a question for you, Dustin, since you're the multirotor guy here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I am too, but when you set up on your radio high, medium, and low rates, does that affect the NASA?
I actually don't run rates on my quadcopters at all.
Right.
Because I should take that back. If I'm going to fly in manual mode, then so that's where I've started using a lot more expos and a lot more rates if I'm going to fly in manual mode. If I'm flying in GPS and attitude mode, there's really no reason to set up dual rates or I shouldn't say expos because there are some use for them, but there's no use of setting up rates because your controller is going to stop you from going past that 45 degree
right.
Pitch. But on my VTEL quad, when I turn my stick scaling up so that I can do flips, I run 30% expo, 20% expo, and then zero expo. So when I go back to auto level mode, I can go back to zero expo there if I need to. But on my Elevon and Elevator, I do have rates set up on that also. And I think I have them. I think they're at 90 on both.
Okay.
90 and 100% is what I get out of those. Because the stick scaling in the controller takes care of the rates and bumping right. them up. But when I put the rates down, I can take that stick scaling away.
Yeah. Now, have you had any issues? Because you're talking stick scaling. Are you talking like KK2 and stuff like that?
Yeah. Yep. In the KK2.
Yeah. See, that's a big deal with that one. With the NASA, I don't mess with any of that crap. You know, the little turn wheel that's on the top right of your transmitter?
Yeah.
I have that set up for remote gains, and I will literally turn the gains all the way down and I can mash the sticks and it'll barely move.
No. Yeah. And same thing with me on the DX9, you got the two finger sliders on the back of the radio. I've set those up for different gains for the NASA too, but really I don't use those as much as I probably should. I actually kind of forget that I even have them set up, but that's only on one of my quads.
So, yeah, there's lots to learn, man. I would just say get in there, do it, and see what the result is, you know, just be safe.
Yeah. So, how many of you have set up a heli before?
I've set up a heli twice, and it wasn't mine.
And how did it go?
Not good at all. I could never get the damn swash to go the right way.
And that's my problem too. And that's exactly why I've been kind of dreading setting up that Align 150, T-Rex 150, because it's a little intimidating to set up a heli, you know. And I've been online and just tried to see if somebody had a setup so you know I could start someplace. But most of the heli guys are like, nah, you do it on your own. You don't take someone else's setup. You know, it's never the same for anything. Yeah, and I'm like,
that is true. That is true. Especially like, when it comes to swash plate leveling and all that, you're not going to want to take somebody else's numbers and plug it into your radio and think it's going to fly. You're going to have to start from zero and work your way up. And you know what I mean? I mean, you can start with a good starting point, and you know, I can give you the rundown on setting up a heli. You know, when the whether the manual tells you what type of servo that you're going to be running. So say the 3GX, it still runs the old CCPM for the swatch plate mixing and the three servo 120 degrees in your radio. Most of the newer flybarless systems like your Icon and your SK540, that kind of stuff, they're all going to be one servo normal in your radio. So what that means is one servo normal is all going to be controlled in the swatch plate mixing, and all that's going to be controlled inside the flybarless unit. On the three servo normal, all the swatch plate adjustments are going to be controlled in your radio. So you'll have a section in your radio where you can actually go and change the pitch, the elevator, and the aileron in your radio separately instead of doing it, fine-tuning it in the, like the Icon, you've got to plug it into the computer and fine-tune your swash with the computer that way, or else mechanically, if it's not mechanically right. So you can't adjust like the, you know, you're basically just adjusting the throws of the servos and all that. But it's super easy. You'll basically start off there. And
yes, sounds pretty easy. The whole time I'm like, what the hell is he talking about? Swash yeah. plate, what? Huh? Now, my heli doesn't even have a Nikon.
Well, once you go through the manual, it'll tell you when you're setting up your radio. It'll tell you whether to set up one servo normal, three servo 120 degrees CCPM. And that's the very first. When you click on a new model on most computer radios, I haven't seen too many of them that are different, but I don't know. Maybe I'm not on Futaba. I don't know anything about Futaba. But on most spectrums, as soon as you click on when it's asked you what model type, and as soon as you click on heli, it's going to ask you what CCPM mixing do you want. It's going to say one servo normal, two, three, and then you just pick which one corresponds to your application. So I haven't set up a T-Rex 150, but if it's anything like the 130, it'll be fairly easy.
See, it was kind of funny when I set up my radio and I went in there and I chose that. It said, "Hey, dummy, you chose heli. Go back to an airplane." So that's what I did. I just didn't know what to do.
Yeah, that's for that's for the cop out mode.
No, I've done some reading online, and I started setting it up on the radio, and like you said, there was, you know, the manual said choose this servo type and one normal or whatever, but that's about as far as I got. I didn't do anything after that.
Yeah, and the rest is super simple. I mean, it's just about, you know, you're gonna go into pull like a wire off the motor so that it doesn't spool up, and then you're going to move the throttle stick all the way up till it says 50 in, 50 out on your throttle curve. And that is where you want to set up 0 degrees pitch, and you want your servo horns to be at 90 degrees and then your swash plate to be completely level. And once you've done that, then everything else is downhill from there. You'll set up overall pitch, and, you know, it's basically setting up throttle curves and your stunt modes after that.
So, Mike, would you suggest, like, say me, I never had a heli before. I won one at the Heli Fun Fly. Let's say that I'm not listening to this podcast, or I'm the first time listener to this podcast, and I don't have any friends like you to help me set it up. But is this something you really should seek assistance with?
Not really. I mean, you can, that if you have an option to do that, then yes, I would definitely find somebody who's set up a few helis before. But there's plenty of videos online on YouTube that can show you how to set up your first heli. Finless Bob from Heli Freak, he's made some amazing videos and helped out hundreds of thousands of people setting up helis. I mean, granted, I haven't seen any of the newer ones because it's been a long time since I've looked at them. But when I first got into flying helis and learning how to set up a fly-barred heli, Finless Bob, if you've flown a heli and if you set up a heli, you know who Finless Bob is. He's, you know, he's put out so many videos on helping people set up step-by-step instructions, and that's how I learned how to do it, was just watching Finless Bob videos on setting up, you know, zero pitch, mechanical setup of the helis. I mean, it does sound overwhelming, but really, it's pretty simple once you get it down and do it a couple times.
I just shat myself listening to all that.
I'm sure you did.
Okay.
I know it's complicated stuff, but...
I was quiet, I understand, but I was actually looking around Facebook and stuff and some other places, and while you guys are jibber-jabbering about helicopters, I actually found a post by Mike McConville from Horizon that, you know, does all the Horizon hobby stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he said 27 seconds to properly set up a Spectrum DX6, DX9, or DX18 for the safe-equipped BNF airplane models from Horizon. And it's a video, so I shared it.
Nice.
So does that go for the new Blade, what is it, a Blade 200 with safe technology?
Yeah.
The heli?
No, but only says fixed wing. He clarifies, set up this for BNF safe-equipped fixed wing aircraft models from Horizon.
So, you know, and that brings up another point, too, like you were asking, Dustin. I mean, I've helped out a few people over the phone or through Skype or whatever, you know, and I'm willing to help out if people need help setting up a heli. You know, just message me and I can help out when I can. I've helped out a few people over the phone from the Facebook group and got them going within a few seconds. Or not a few seconds, but you know what I mean. A few minutes with sitting on the phone and troubleshooting their problem and helping them out.
So when I first got my very first NASA and I had a DX8 at the time, I walked through the setup and I set everything up, and you got to set up some switches and you got to mix a couple of things. And, you know, there's a little bit of setup that goes involved. You can't just set it up by an airplane and get all the functionality you want. So you got to do a little bit of tuning and you got to hook it up to the computer. And so after I set my setup up, I thought, I wonder if somebody's out there doing this better. And so I went out and I downloaded a couple of different setups and I put them on my radio. And then I saw this guy was doing this with this switch and this guy was doing this with this switch. And this guy was using the knob or this for the gains. And I thought, oh, that's pretty cool. And I learned a few things and I kind of incorporated those things into my setup.
Right.
And that's kind of what I thought was going to happen with this heli. I didn't expect to download a setup, put it on my radio and go out and fly this thing. But what I was hoping to happen is that the swash plate type would be set up, the servos would be set up, and then I would have a baseline of where to start, you know. But man, I just had the hardest time. I really couldn't find anything. Maybe I was looking in the wrong spot.
With helis, it all comes down to, you know, there is really no set way of doing it. And there's not going to be nothing, even from like radio to radio, you couldn't copy the settings and change it over. I mean, you could if the heli was already set up. The problem is getting the swash plate to be exact same. So if you took my heli, say you took my 550 and you copied my settings over to your radio, it would fly the same. But if you had a 550 and if I had a 550 and they were the exact same and we copied the same settings, they would fly completely different because it comes down to mechanical setup. So it's how close you get zero pitch on your blades and how level your swash plate is and also where your servos are at zero pitch. So if your servos are off or if they're not at exactly 90 degrees or whatever they're supposed to be at, then it's going to be completely different. So that's where it boils down to on setting up a heli. It's not so much the radio, because all the radio settings are going to be the exact same. The only thing that you're changing, you know, is a few sub trims here or there to get your servo horns to be 90 degrees. And then everything else is all mechanical. Your swash plate, you're adjusting turnbuckles, your zero pitch on your blades, you're adjusting the turnbuckles on those blades.
So is that where like a pitch gauge and stuff comes in?
Yeah.
Into play?
Yeah.
So if you're going to set up a heli on a radio, you should have a pitch gauge also.
You have to. There's no way. I mean, you can do it. Like the small ones, you can do it by just folding them back and then eyeballing it. But throw on a pitch gauge. If you got a digital pitch gauge, I'd throw it on there.
Okay.
But for a big heli, yeah, it's essential to have a pitch gauge to set up a heli. Otherwise, you'll never get it to fly right, if at all.
So now you said, so we know, maybe for the listeners, I fly DX9, Wade flies a DX9, you fly a JR.
Right.
Are we going to see the same type of configurations as a heli going from a Spectrum DX9 to, I mean,
yeah.
Is it, so it's pretty straightforward?
Yeah. So basically you're just setting up the servo type, and that's pretty much across the board for all radios. And then you're going to be setting up your, you know, adjusting your sub trims or whatever to get your servo at exactly 90. Because sometimes it takes one or two clicks to get it to be at 90 because the teeth don't always line up exactly on the servo horns. And then other than that, you're basically setting up throttle curves. So on the throttle curves, I run a governor on the Castle ESC. And when I plug in my head speeds into the Castle software, it tells me what throttle curves to run. So it'll be, my normal curve is 0, 30, 30, 30, all the way across. My stunt 1 is 70 flat. My stunt 2 is 100 flat. So it'll be 100, 100, 100, 100. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And okay, yeah. That corresponds to the head speeds that I want. Say, like on my 550, I got 2500 head speed for stunt 2, 2200 head speed for stunt 1, and then like 1800 for just normal mode.
Okay.
And that's going to be pretty common in a lot of governors. It's going to be fairly close to the same. Now, a lot of nitro helis and people that don't like governors, they'll just run straight throttle curves. They'll run, you know, on stunt 2 on a nitro, a lot of guys that don't run governors, they'll run 100, 85, 100, so that when they're backing off, it'll keep that head speed the same when they're, you know, inverted or, you know, doing TikToks or whatever, and you're changing that throttle or the pitch stick. It'll keep that head speed about the same. But anyways, that's getting into a whole other topic.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what I thought. But yeah.
I usually just like to charge my battery.
So, Wade, what did you come from before you had the DX9?
I had the DX6i. So it's a really good improvement.
Yeah. That's a good radio. I started with the DX6i and then went to the DX7.
Yeah, I mean, I never had any issues with the DX6i. The only reason I got rid of it was because I needed more channels for multi-rotors.
So that's kind of where I was getting at next. The feature set. So I started out on a DX7, not the DX7S, but the actual DX7.
Yeah, the original.
And the feature set that I had going from the DX7 to the DX8, and now from the DX8 to the DX9, man, there are just so many more options. And, you know, I really like on the DX6 or the DX9, sorry, when I want to assign a channel, I just go in there and I just flip the switch and it automatically assigns it to where, you know, whatever I'm in. And I helped a friend out with a DX8 the other day, and somebody had set up the radio for him for his NASA, and I didn't necessarily like the things that they had done, but they had actually bound channel 7, 6, and 7 together. And I couldn't remember how to get them apart, and I didn't know what was going on. And I was like, I should just be able to flip the switch and it'll automatically assign it to this. And it took me probably a good 10 minutes to get it figured out to get those two channels so they weren't mixed. And it wasn't in the mixing. It was actually a flap problem, but they had done dual flaps and it had assigned both of those channels together on a NASA setup. And I was like, why are they doing a flap setup? But it was kind of weird. So I'm definitely digging some of the newer radios, and a couple of my friends have different radios, and the programming features you get for your models are way cool.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of the 9.
Has anybody set up a Delta Wing?
I have. Yeah,
like
I do.
12.
Let's talk about some Delta Wing mixing. That stuff's pretty cool because, you know, back in the day, they didn't have Delta mixing. Imagine having to do that on your own in the radio with, like, Revo mixes and stuff.
Yeah, that would be crazy. Fortunately, I've never had a radio that didn't have Elevon mixing in it or some type of computerized mixing for me. I would just go in and choose the wing type, which, man, I don't know. I mean, I've done other mixes before, but I don't even know how I would start to mix the elevator and the
ailerons
together.
I did it on a DX5.
Nice. Did it work?
Remember how the hell I did it. Yeah, you just put one servo and elevator, one servo and an aileron, and then there was like a little switch. That was it. And then you had to like reverse with a little like screwdriver. You know, you got to do the little switches.
Yeah.
Because you had to keep reversing them and you would never get it right. So then you had to take the aileron and elevator plugs and switch them on the receiver.
Right.
And the
and
funny
start over. Sorry,
the funny thing when you start scratch building like Delta Wings, if you put your servo horns on like both in or both out, I've had some friends that have had, you know, cheap radios like just the, you know, like the Orange X and the Turnigy brand radios. Yeah. And if you put both servo horns facing in or you put them both facing out, you can never get the mixing, and so the servo horns both have to be facing either left or right, and yeah, it just gets kind of crazy, and you don't have the options in some of these radios to actually, you know, swap those things or just, you know, reprogram it, and that's that's kind of how it was on my old, I had a DPM 6-channel blade radio, and you'd flip a couple of switches to get Elevon mixing, and then you'd reverse it, and then you just end up pulling servo horns off and trying to reconfigure your servos on the plane. So,
see, one of my biggest I usually stick with the same setup for airplanes, right? And then I just kind of tweak and fine tune. Now, one thing I cannot go without is freaking servo programmability as far as timing and offset and delays. Like, I love that about the DX9. Mainly because of landing gear. I love one of my landing gear to come up sooner than the other.
Yeah, on my Bixler, on my flaps, I like being able to time my flaps, you know, how fast they descend and come up. Because, you know, all of a sudden you're flying and you go full flaps and you forgot to put your elevator mix in there and your plane's heading for the sky, you know, or you're trying to bring in for a landing and then all of a sudden you're out of runway because you didn't set your servo timing and, you know, you didn't do your elevator mix with your flaps. But
nice.
See, I went overboard on my elevator mix with my Carbon Cub and it took full up and it still was at a down angle. And I have my servo set for like a 15 second slow. So it's like the slowest flaps ever. And I went full flaps and I'm like, no, go back. And it just plowed into the ground. You know what I mean? And
yeah, that's
like shit.
I wouldn't set the timing right off the bat on your first flight, but you'll start to, for me, I start to notice that I needed to slow my flaps down to kind of keep the plane from going all squirrely.
Yeah, no. And you know, there's some tricks that you can use. If you guys out there do have DX6, you know, and you don't have three position switches, you can do mixes on there to get three position servos. I did that for flaps on a lot of it. You know what I mean? It's just confusing until you get to know it, but you can actually mix in three different positions for your flaps and gear and stuff. So.
Yeah, if you want to do like a return – or not a return to home, but like a course lock and a heading lock and your three GPS modes with a DX6 or the DX6i, I guess, you have to do mixing.
Yeah, it's a pain in the butt, but it works.
Cool. Should we wrap this show up?
Yeah, let's wrap it up, man. I'm falling asleep here. I'm talking about helis. Crap.
Yeah, I know, right? They're the same way. But yeah, I think that, you know, there's a lot of good information out there for setting up helis, airplanes, fixed wings, you know, the forums, YouTube especially. There's tons of videos out there. First setting up my first helis, I couldn't have done it without YouTube. I lived on YouTube for hours setting up helis, but it's, you know, just takes practice, a little bit of patience. So that's all I've got to say.
Well, yeah, YouTube's a great tool, especially if you're a visual type of person.
Right.
Yeah, PornTube is really good for visual people.
Thank you very much for tuning into this week's episode of RC Hangar Time. Remember to help spread the word. You can find us on the web at www.rchangartime.com or just do a Facebook search for RC Hangar Time. We enjoyed having you. We just hope you enjoyed being had. And remember, have fun, be safe out there. We look forward to seeing you again next week.